Today we are going to talk about the second important theory in learning, what is called as operant conditioning. Operant conditioning is also known as instrumental conditioning. The reason being that the animal concerned, or you say the person concerned, his or her behavior, basically has something to do with the anticipation of the probability of the occurrence. Okay. So, unlike classical conditioning where you saw Pavlov's dog being passively getting conditioned to salivate on the sound of the bell, instrumental conditioning is different. It is basically a form of learning in which the consequence of the behavior produces the changes in the probability of occurrence of that very behavior. So, the responses, they are instrumental in receiving rewards or escaping punishment. So, reward or punishment, that is something which becomes important. So, either you want to receive the reward or you want to escape the punishment, and this in turn keep shaping your behavior and you get instrumentally conditioned. B.F. Skinner was the man who gave this very concept. And you saw in the beginning the pigeons at Mumbai. Skinner's operant conditioning experiment was based on the study of pigeons in the lab. So now, this was what the experimental protocol was. The pigeon was put in a cage, okay, and as you can see here, a colored space, and exactly in the center here, the pigeon was supposed to pick here, and once the pigeon would pick at that very specific location, as you can see in second image, this very image, okay, then you realize that the food palette used to come out. So, every time you pick at the right point, the food palette will come. This was the location, no? This is the location where the food palette used to appear. So, repeatedly, the pigeon was getting trained to pick at a specific location in order to get food. And as you can see here, the box was basically designed specifically for this very purpose. And if you see this very image, the response lever is put here. Okay. And then the beak of the pigeon, this very point, had basically a metallic surface attached to it, which in turn used to help the pen recorder. Okay? And here you see that the drum here, this paper roll will keep moving, okay, in this very direction. So, paper will move in this very direction, and then based on the pecking behavior of the pigeon, the pen will keep recording it on the paper. Okay. So, here now what you see here, this is basically the pecking behavior. So, this is how now in a very beautiful manner, much more objective scientific manner, B.F. Skinner conducted his research on pigeons. And this gave him the precise information as to how reward works in the case of these very pigeons, and this led to a mega theory in learning, what is called as operant conditioning. Now, in the case of operant conditioning, the participants, they actively respond to the stimuli, okay, according to the way his or her responses affect the stimuli. Therefore, it will always know look at how either the organism is trying to escape the punishment, if it, in case it happens to be an obnoxious type of stimulus, or the tendency of the respondent, of the subject, the participant, to get rewarded for the behavior that one is coming forward with. Okay. So, that is the reason why operant conditioning basically is considered to advocate shaping of behavior. So, how your behavior gets shaped, okay, and this shaping is dependent on basically the receiving of the reward or escape of the punishment, and shaping basically in psychology is considered as a complex response which is learnt by first learning a series of simple responses. So, you must have seen, you know, toddlers, how they learn how to walk. Okay. So, you learn small steps first and then gradually you combine them to learn a big thing. You learn simple set of responses and then you combine them together. This creates a learning of a complex concept. Okay. Whole behavior gets shaped, and therefore, later on when the organism responds in that very given situation, and primarily you look at the fact that the entire behavior finally becomes a complex response against a given stimuli. One very interesting aspect before we go into the details of operant conditioning was the fact that Skinner also came forward with the idea of pigeon guided missile. Remember, that was the time when World War II was in progress. What he had done is that once again he had a gold electrode that covered the tip of the pigeon's beak, and you see the warhead of the missile. What he had done was, as you can see in the figure here, okay, this is just one of the holes where one of the trained pigeon was being kept here. So, in the nose of the missile, which had three compartments, okay, three specially trained pigeons, they were put there, and the pressure sensitive screens displayed the image of what was in front of the missile. Okay. These images were projected through the lens in the nose cone. Okay. And because these pigeons were specially trained, so what used to happen is that the contact with the screen on the image of the targets was always projected, okay, send a signal informing the missile's control mechanism to the target location. Okay. And the few grains of the food will occasionally it was given to the pigeons in order to maintain their tracking behavior, because the pigeons were trained to peck at a particular location in order to receive food. Okay. So, they kept on maintaining the trajectory of the missile, because their correct pecking led to a positive result. Basically, they were getting few food grains. Now, the pigeons in the warhead of the missile operated the flaps on the missile and guided it home by pecking at an image of that very target. And when the missile was in flight, the pigeon pecked the moving image on the screen. So, this produced corrective signals to keep the missile on its correct course. You can see on your screen right now, Skinner busy with his instrument. As you can see here, okay, he subjected those animals in a particular box, which after his name is nowadays called Skinner box. In the earlier experiment, he had the pigeons, and you also saw the pigeon guided missiles. Now you see white rats being used for experimental purposes. Okay. And pigeon was a case where the reward was taken into account. The pigeon was supposed to pick at the right location, and this led to repeatedly rewarding the pigeon by giving few food grains. In this case, as you can see in the Skinner box, a rat was kept there, and this was the experimental demonstration of what you call as the tendency to escape punishment. This rat was subjected to electric shocks, which used to come in the metallic grid that you see at the bottom of the cage, the floor of the cage. And in order to escape the mild electric shock, the rat had to make certain desired movement. Okay. And that desired movement would basically help the rat escape electric shock. So, this was basically again making the rat learn how to respond. Okay. But this response was not in order to receive a reward, but this response was basically in order to escape the punishment. Okay. So, basically what operant conditioning said was that we have two types of situations. Okay. You can have positive reinforcement that would shape the behavior, or it could be negative reinforcement that shapes the behavior. Positive reinforcement, basically the frequency of response gets strengthened because it is followed by a rewarding stimulus. So, you do a behavior, a desired behavior, and the desired response in turn gives you a reward. Whereas, in the case of negative reinforcement, the frequency of the response increased, because the response was followed by removal of the aversive stimulus. No? So, you saw the first case, positive reinforcement was the case of the pigeon, okay, because the response of the pigeon got strengthened, because every time it would correct, come forward with the correct response, a reward would be given. No? In the case of the white rat, basically it was removal of the aversive stimulus. No? So, mild electric shock was given to the rat, okay, and the response increased because the rat realized that by giving this type of response, by giving a particular type of response, it could basically make itself escape the punishment that it was experiencing. The aversive thing, the electric shock, that got removed. Now, besides, you know, considering the reinforcement as positive and negative reinforcements, in terms of especially human beings, you can also think of primary and secondary reinforcement. Now, remember one thing, in human beings also, positive and negative reinforcements will work, okay. But the way various factors that motivate such to perform certain type of act, some of these you would realize are biologically driven, hunger, thirst, sex and sleep, okay. They are biologically driven, whereas many other things, okay, such as appreciation, such as a token of smile, such as giving some money, okay, or recognizing you by conferring an award to you, these could be secondary reinforcers. No? So, in the case of human beings, we realize mostly that we could have a conditioned behavior that comes out of either primary reinforcers or secondary reinforcers. Primary reinforcement, it basically works in the case of innate behavior. No? So, if you are given food for behaving in a particular way, if you are given water if you behave in the desired way, if you are allowed to have sex because you give the desired behavioral outcome. Okay. So, provision of providing food, water, sex would be considered as an example of primary reinforcement. Whereas, cases where you consider the reinforcement as positive, but it is not basically dependent on your innate biological tendencies, but they give you things which are otherwise socially acceptable. Okay, you have learned to value those things through your experience. Say for instance, you come forward with a desired response and then you are given a reward of say 5 lakhs, that is the prize amount. It is the value of the award that becomes reinforcement for you, or simply the fact that everybody gives you a standing ovation. Okay, people stand up and clap for you, or even situation when your near and dear ones, those who basically have value in your eyes, they just give you a smile, which would work as a positive reinforcement for you. Okay, now these are secondary reinforcements. So, human beings, you would realize that they are not only guided by primary reinforcement, but they are also guided by secondary reinforcement. Consider this very situation. You are in a shopping mall and you are trying to buy a new shirt. You need a new shirt. So, what do? You enter a mall, go to an appropriate shop and then say for example, you have tried brand X. This very behavior does not lead to a rewarding type of an outcome. You realize that the shirt is not fitting you, okay, it is an unfit. You drop that, you go to brand Y. Okay. The shirt fits now, but then you realize that fine, the color is not that attractive. Those who are along with you, your friends or your family members, they tell you that even though it is a fit, but then the color is not so attractive, it is dull. You drop brand Y also. You try brand Z and then you realize that it is not only a perfect fit, but even the color, the print is very attractive. What you do now? This very reward does not only allow you to buy that very shirt at that moment, but later on when you will go for shopping the next time, instead of trying brands X and Y, you will jump to brand Z, because now you know that it is brand Z which might give you the colors of your choice, and it also tells you that fine, brand Z will largely also have those shapes of the shirt which fits your body. Okay. Now, the entire purchase behavior is controlled by operant conditioning and the reward that you get out of a given situation. The way we discussed important concepts in classical conditioning, let us now talk about important concepts associated with operant conditioning. Similar type of things. No? One, the process of extension. What we had discussed earlier, the way we had defined extension, it is exactly the same that we were going to talk about here. In operant conditioning, extension basically occurs when you realize that the previously reinforced response is no longer reinforced. Okay? So, something that was appreciated, that was being given a reinforcement, you realize that the reinforcement is not being given. And once the reinforcement is not being given, that specific response starts diminishing. Okay? So, the tendency of the individual to give that very response now goes down, it is no longer there simply because the reinforcement has also not been given in that very situation. So, removal of a reinforcement that leads to complete fading out of the desired response, it is called extension. Again, generalization and discrimination are two important considerations here. Generalization would mean that you give the same response if you realize that the stimulus is the same. Okay. In the case of the example of pigeons near Gateway of India in Mumbai, you realized that whether you throw the grain on the ground or you hold the grain in your own palm, the pigeons come and they peck, they eat the grain. Okay. So, where the grain is not important. No? So, even though the situation has changed, you realize that the stimuli is by and large the same. No? It is the food grain which was in one case lying on the ground, on the other case it is in somebody is holding it, and therefore the response is extended there. That is generalization. Okay? Same response if there is similarity in terms of the stimuli that is being given. Discrimination would be the reverse of generalization. Okay? Responding to a stimuli where you realize that the signal is not the same. So, if you realize that it will be reinforced in one condition, you realize that it will not be reinforced in the other condition. And because you know that this will not be reinforced in the other condition, you do not do that. Okay. Important concept also in operant conditioning is of punishment. Okay. Punishment basically is a consequence which decreases the likelihood of the behavior. Because if that behavior is again and again repeated, every time the individual would be punished for that very act. And if you realize that the likelihood of punishment is increasing because of repetition of the behavior, you finally decide that this is a non-doable type of an act, you do not perform that. Now, punishment can also be positive and negative in nature. Okay? This is something very interesting to understand in psychology. By and large, we understand that punishment is punishment, and therefore, the commonsensical understanding of punishment is that it is negative. Primarily, technically speaking, punishment could be positive, it could be negative. Now, a behavior decreases when it is followed by an unpleasant stimuli. Okay? So, decrease in the behavior when it is followed by unpleasant stimulus, that is positive reinforcement. But if the behavior decreases when a positive stimulus is removed, so in one case it is followed by unpleasant stimulus, in the other case you realize that the positive stimulus is removed. In one case it is given, in the case of positive punishment it is withdrawn, it is removed in the case of negative punishment. Okay? So, understand one thing, reinforcement could be positive, negative, and similarly punishment can also be positive as well as negative. Let us now understand positive, negative reinforcement and positive, negative punishment once again using this very grid. So, in this case you have the stimulus, so you think of two conditions, it is a 2x2 table, no? Exactly the way we had talked about the signal detection theory in the case of perception, okay? Where the signal was present, signal was absent, the response was either yes or no. Here either the behavior increases or the behavior decreases. Okay? Second case where the stimulus is present or the stimulus is removed, it is not present. Now, what happens? If the stimulus is present, remember this, if the stimulus is present and the behavior also increases, okay, this would be a case of positive reinforcement. Why? You gave the stimulus and the behavior increased. So, this is positive reinforcement. You remove the stimulus, okay, and removal leads to increase in the behavior, that is negative reinforcement. Okay. Now, increase in the behavior has been taken care of. Now, we are not talking of increase in the behavior, rather now we are talking about decrease in the behavior. Okay. So, now think of this situation. So, we now come to the second situation where we are not talking about increase in the behavior. Remember earlier we were talking with respect to increase in the behavior, we are now talking about decrease in the behavior. So, the result finally is going to be decrease in the behavior. And again, stimulus, you think in terms of presenting the stimulus or you think in terms of withdrawing the stimulus, removing the stimulus. Now, if the stimulus is presented, okay, so now you have presented the stimulus, behavior decreases, okay, and this leads to positive punishment. Okay. So, you present the stimulus leading to a decrease in the behavior, positive punishment. Okay. Removal of the stimulus and this leads to decrease in the behavior, this is considered as negative punishment. So, having understood the whole concept of classical and operant conditioning, let us now try to make a distinction between the two. This we will do in our next lecture.